You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarlane. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, it's the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. So glad you're with us today. It's a wonderful first kind of cold day of fall we've had in Western New York in quite a while. I'm enjoying that, though. Halloween's coming up soon. October's a great month. I'm super excited for today's show. I want to say hi to Trish McFarlane. She couldn't be with us today, but we miss her, and we'll see her again soon on the show. And, of course, I need to thank HR Happy Hour Show sponsor since 1982. Virgin Pulse, www.virginpulse.com. Check them out. All things employee and employer wellness, well-being, and more. So check out what they're doing at Virgin Pulse. They're doing some great things over there. Probably the last quick shout-out and thanks for the HR Tech Conference concluded a couple weeks ago, but I did want to mention it for one specific reason. Our call for speakers for speaking proposals is open. www.hrtechconference.com to submit your speaking proposal. And please save me. If you care about me at all, do it soon. Do it before the December 20th if you can. I'll be eternally grateful if you do. Quick NBA update, because we're all over the NBA on the show because of the sponsorships and tough start to my New York Knicks, but sponsored by my blog host, Squarespace. So come on, Knicks, one of the few teams who haven't won a game yet. Trish's in for Brooklyn Nets looked great last night in a win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So good luck. Good on them. Good on the Brooklyn Nets. And last couple things for me, real quick. The HR Happy Hour Podcast Network still going strong. I just posted a show from Ben Eubanks today on the We're Only Human show. Great show about the neuroscience of learning. So check that out. As well as HR Market Watch, George LaRocque doing a great job there. And more to come. More to come from the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network. So many, many thanks to everyone for checking out those shows. Finally, I know I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. We do have a listener survey that Ben Eubanks, actually, of We're Only Human, prepared. And I will get that launched and posted along, probably post the link in today's show notes, and we'll post it out for a week or two. We'd love to get some feedback from the listeners, you know, who you are, what topics you're interested in, what kinds of shows do you like, and how you learned about the show as well. We'd love to learn more about you, the listeners for of the show and all the shows on that podcast network. So look for that survey and maybe take a couple of minutes and help us out with learning more about you so we can create content and shows that serve you better. So, all right, lots of announcements. That's a lot. Let's stop me talking and bring on our guest. I am super excited for today's show. Today we're talking about a really important issue for workers and in the workplace, which is caregiving. And to talk about caregiving, I'm going to welcome Adam Goldberg. Adam is the CEO and founder of Torchlight. Inspired by family caregiving challenges in his own life, Adam set out on a journey to scale critical guidance for working parents of children with special needs, and then expanded the vision to caregivers in the workforce with elder loved ones. Torchlight is an outcomes-focused employee caregiver platform that reduces the cost and complexities of modern caregiving for families and employers in the United States. With personalized decision support, action plans, easy-to-use digital tools, and expert advising, caregivers now have the power to handle every challenge with confidence. Torchlight covers over 1 million working families at innovative companies that recognize caring is good business. Prior to Torchlight, Adam co-founded and directed the Goldberg Center for Educational Planning, successfully guiding thousands of students over the course of a decade. There's plenty more in Adam's bio. I'm getting tired of reading it because he's so accomplished and I'm jealous. I'm going to welcome him to the show. Adam Goldberg, welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show.
Thank you for having me, Steve. Great to be here.
Adam, I'm going to stump you with the first question, though, which I like to ask guests. Tell us something interesting and cool about you that's not in the bio. Let's start with that.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I don't remember if this is in the bio, but I am a multiple time marathoner.
Nice.
I've run a few Boston runs, and it's a little bit like the entrepreneurial journey, I must say. It can be challenging at times, Heartbreak Hill and beyond. And so I would say that's probably something that listeners might not know about me.
That's awesome. I'm jealous and envious. I'm sort of a couch to 5K guy. I got about as far as I got, but that's
you got somewhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Now I'm really off topic already, Adam. I apologize. But like on the last show, the show I did last week was with Dan Heath, who you may know, like author, has written several books along with his brother Chip Heath. And the couch to 5K was one of the specific examples he used in his most recent book about kind of setting up challenges and kind of having a staggered multiplying milestones in order to help people meet challenges. It was interesting. I thought the same thing as I was doing. It's like, there's no way I would have like gotten up out of my couch to run a 5K without that kind of staggered approach. So maybe someday, Adam, I'll reach out to you and you can coach me on trying to get a little further than 5K. But that's awesome. Great.
Happy to share my scar tissue on that.
Hey, Adam, caregiving. I mentioned it in the bio. It's a really important issue. I'm a benefits guy at heart, but this is beyond just a benefits story. I'd love for you to maybe just tell us what this issue is about, the caregiving issue, and maybe discuss a little bit about who this issue is impacting, how many folks, and kind of what it means in general before we dive into the specifics of these caregiving challenges.
Sure, happy to, as you'd imagine, do a lot of speaking on this. It's a personal passion, become a career thing for me. And the realization, having lived through this myself on both ends of the continuum, with child challenges and elder challenges, having grown up in a household impacted by these challenges, it just became very clear that these are very panicked moments. It's when you least expect it. It's highly interruptive. And you just don't know what lurks around the next corner. And these are the types of real life stuff happening day to day, moment to moment, that, impact what you're doing in your quote regular day to day. And, most of us spend the vast majority of our awake time working. And so it's this vicious cycle of going to work to try to provide for the ones you love. And then those loved ones present challenges and keep you from going and making that living to support them. So this goes on and on and on. It's this vicious cycle or spiral. And so we're really all about making, caring everyone's business. That's my passion. So the impact of that is vast, and it's really just coming to the surface now, because it's the stuff that falls through the cracks. It's beneath the surface lurking. And, you're talking about 1 in 6 employees in a workforce typically actively caregiving. Okay. And you can imagine almost like a heat map where people are lighting up based on their caregiving needs. And that just keeps shifting from one person to the next, because at some point or another, we're all confronted by these challenges in life. And so, the impact isn't just the touchy-feely stuff, with productivity. There's also a healthcare drain and lots of costs associated with that. So, companies are in the hole on an annual basis somewhere around, $38 billion.
Wow.
This challenge that they face.
Thanks for that, Adam. You mentioned 1 in 6 employees, at least at any given time, are faced with these kind of challenges. Are we talking about challenges on both ends of the spectrum? Like, we talk about this kind of sandwich generation idea where you're kind of maybe, of a certain age where you've got children, minor children that you're responsible for, or other kind of folks you're responsible for, as well as elder care, like parents or grandparents even. Does the 1 in 6 kind of cover both sides of the spectrum of the sandwich, if you will?
Sure, sure. And that's it's exactly right.
Okay.
And that's at least that. Because of that lighting up in any moment of challenges. And I am the sandwich. I am a perfect example of that. Having been through both scenarios, over the past few years, where my world has stopped spinning.
Yeah.
And I just know from not just my own experience, but speaking with all kinds of folks out there, that when that happens, you drop everything. And you have to. You that's the cards. You know, those are the cards you've been dealt.
Yeah, it's so interesting. We've done a lot of these shows over the last almost 10 years and done quite a few with founders, CEOs, entrepreneurs in the HR and associated sort of benefits technology space. And it's sure. pretty common that when I talk, not always, but often, I'll talk to someone about, well, what got you interested in this? What made you sort of head down the path of trying to solve this particular challenge that you're looking to solve? And it's so often personal. Right, it's very personal. Yep. Like you're talking about, you had some personal experiences with caregiving and challenges around caregiving. And I've had another guy tell me, you know, oh, he had a startup and he couldn't find the right technical people to hire, so you know, he built a new platform to make that easier. Those kinds of things. And uh-huh. you know, a third guy talked about just getting people signed up for payroll and benefits, and that was a big hassle. So he built something, you know, to make that easier. It's such a common refrain. It's good though, right? It tells us that, you know, you're really passionate about this problem because you've lived through it and experienced it.
That's right. And it does take some kind of baseline level of passion to drive you to want to go through a brick wall to solve the problem. And because, you know, when you raise your hand to do this, there's all the implications to that in your own life. You work feverishly, passionately, tirelessly, and there's an impact on your own life in doing so, but yeah. Wouldn't trade it for a second.
Yeah, so let's dig into it a little bit, Adam. And again, I'm with Adam Goldberg from Torchlight. We're talking about caregiving, and we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about some of the potential employer kind of responses and opportunities there to support their employees in these caregiving challenges. But one last couple things I wanted to reset. We mentioned the 1 in 6 a little bit. There's a big demographic thing going on. I'm a huge, like, kind of macroeconomic labor market kind of fan. I love data and I love statistics around kind of the big picture. Is this problem something that is getting worse? Is it because of, and if it is it because just aging population, aging workforce? What are kind of the drivers of making this problem kind of bubble up and surface more and getting more attention from employers?
You're right. There's certainly a number of demographic shifts that are, you know, precipitating a greater dialogue around this and perhaps a realization. It wasn't long ago, maybe two and a half years ago, where we had to spend a lot of our time educating folks that this problem exists in the workforce. Now it's, yeah, we know because we're hearing from folks. So I think that there's additional disclosure. There's less stigma. And so that, you know, that's pretty good. That's nice that people are starting to talk about this. It's somewhere around 56% or so of those caregivers that we're talking about do not disclose.
Okay.
So you can see where that is such a hidden, you know, we're only getting tip of the iceberg typically when we're looking at the employer impact. And you know, so this dialogue and speaking about it, and that's why we're trying to initiate a lot of the dialogue out there so that folks can say, look, it's safe for me to have these discussions because I'm human and I'm not alone and others are going through this as well. So there's a community aspect to it. And, you know, I really see this almost being bifurcated as we move forward, that there's the employers that recognize this and do something about it, and they're winning. Mm-hmm. And the ones who have either just checked the box or, you know, want to continue to go with the assumption that these problems are not in their own workforce.
Yeah, right. Which is, of course, we know, and this is the incorrect assumption to make. And I'll just throw out a couple of stats. I pulled these right from Torchlight's own website, torchlight.care. So I think we can vouch for them. But you've got some great stats on the website talking about just the sheer numbers of this. You know, 43 million plus unpaid, untrained caregivers providing support for loved ones in the United States today. 43 million plus, and of that, just about half of those unpaid, untrained caregivers are employed, right? 21 million, right? That's a huge number. The United States labor force is about 130 million, roughly 135 million, right? So there's your 1 in 6, right? The math works out really, really nicely, but huge numbers. And to sort of think as an employer of any size at all, even small ones, quite frankly. This has got to be impacting folks in your organization. So I think you're spot on, Adam, about that saying, like, it's time that we sort of got beyond sort of recognize it as a problem, start talking about what we can do about it. And so I kind of like to pivot then, I guess, Adam, to say, like, what in your experience, when you go to talk to organizations about these challenges and these problems, what are typically the things you find organizations are doing right now? If they hadn't really addressed the problem, are they doing nothing? Are they doing just this minimal kind of support for folks who are in these caregiving situations? What's the most common kind of context you find when you talk to employers?
So there definitely is a gap between knowing that there's an issue and doing something about it, because I think that the realization, in the bigger picture is just surfacing. So there is that opportunity to jump in and, start doing something about it. But there are a number of organizations that have been, very good about this. And that starts, with the cultural underpinnings of an organization and saying that, we recognize that not only are we hiring and retaining employees, but we're, recruiting and retaining employee families. Mm-hmm. And with a shift in mindset, that changes everything. And realizing that there's a whole other set of stakeholders in the equation when you're making decisions around that. And so flex arrangements, manager training so that folks know the signs and what to look out for, mm-hmm. and also how to navigate the sensitivities around, do you talk about these things? Do you bring them up if you notice that something's weighing on, your A player, for instance?
Right.
Because it is very sensitive, yet this sensitivity, it is here and needs to be addressed one way or another. So you might as well be proactive, get out ahead of it, and train folks to understand how to deal with this. And again, when we're talking to folks in HR, benefits, total rewards, work life, mm-hmm. they're all people too, and they typically experience this stuff. So it's it's a fluid conversation to have in relating to these challenges.
Right. And Adam, because it's maybe it's always been this way, but it certainly feels like in the last, 5 to 10 years or so in the employee benefit space and total reward space, like nothing can be done in organizations without being able to kind of prove something, right? We need to prove value. We need to prove a return. We need to kind of demonstrate that this new thing is going to sort of pay for itself, right? I heard that. I mean, I spent a lot of time in the benefits space. I always heard that expression, will that pay for itself, right? Like somehow, right? Magically.
Right.
Can you comment a little bit about just some of the data and some of the findings around what the caregiving challenge is, particularly in organizations that haven't really done much to try to address and support their employees in these challenges? What are these things costing employers today, even if they don't realize that it's happening?
Sure. So, it's the age-old ROI question.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to be able to justify up the chain investing in this. And there's, several aspects to that. And we all the time are challenged and actually welcome that because that's the keep us honest
sure.
factor in, developing a solution. For instance, for us, specifically for the employer space, you have to build in all the analytics into the platform so that you can be able to show that actions are being taken, outcomes are being achieved, and that translates in money saved through multiple, different angles. And so there's a productivity cost. Folks estimate that anywhere between 5 and 24 hours a week, depending on how much heavy lifting is involved in the, caregiving per capita.
Wow.
So it's hugely expensive. And that's everything from assisting with daily activities to driving around to appointments. And sometimes those appointments are privately secured. And when they might be missing out on a benefit that is publicly funded and where transportation is provided, you know, for instance, with special education or early intervention or, you know, things like that. So then that bridges into a whole other aspect of ROI, which is cost transfer. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money being spent on stuff that's quite frankly already paid for. So, you know, what we're trying to do is help demystify, you know, the systemic challenges to be able to say, hey, look, there's a reason why all the vectors align for, you know, employers to really benefit from this. And it's not just doing a good thing or the right thing, but it's good business.
Yeah, it's kind of sad in some ways that just doing the right thing and the good thing isn't good enough, but I get it, right? Business is challenged, right? And they can't just, you know, throw benefit dollars at just every idea that feels and sounds good, even though that'd be great if organizations could. I mean, but some of the data behind this in fact, I read just a new article today, this morning, Adam, when I was just kind of going through the news. I think it was for caring.com data that talked about the amount of money being spent by employees on caregiving tasks and that they needed to kind of have a strategy for saving for caregiving, like they have a strategy for saving for retirement. You know, I just read that this morning, and it's amazing when you look at some of the data again around productivity loss, absence, right, traveling to appointments, as you said, and just stress, right. And so,
not mention the, you know, presenteeism issue, because when this stuff is happening, you know, how many of us can relate to sitting there with our, you know, hand to our forehead, staring blankly at a screen, and we're not getting anything done.
Yeah.
So we're totally focused on the phone call we just received, you know, about our son or daughter or elder loved one.
Yeah, that's so true. And just, you know, I'm glad it's not funny. I shouldn't laugh, but like you made the observation about, you know, sitting with the hand to the forehead. I feel like back in like the 90s, that was the stock photo that was used for every brochure for the employee assistance program, right? That a company that had rolled out it was sitting at the desk like rubbing the temple, right? But it's true though. It is.
And you know, to that, Steve, you know, we all need a sense of humor around this stuff. That's part of our, you know, culture here, is that, look, you know, just about everyone here in our company is a caregiver at some capacity, and you got to be able to laugh and roll with it. It's the only thing that keeps you sane.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, these are tough issues. I mean, we're talking about caring for elder loved ones who might have some health problems, might need some really intensive kind of things, or special needs children. I mean, I've not had that myself, but I can only imagine how tough that could be on your day-to-day just functioning and being productive. Because I think the other side of this too, Adam, is the folks who are caught up in these challenges, what they really want to do is manage it all. And they want to succeed at work. They want to be their best, productive, efficient, you know, successful person at work. And it's not that they don't. It's just sometimes these challenges can be kind of overwhelming, I think, too, at times.
Absolutely. And look, it's some of the best workers or employees who are tasked with doing this caregiving. And so, you know, the notion of, you know, give a busy person something to do and they're likely the ones to get it done, a lot of the caregiving burden falls on those A players. Yeah. And so it's not just kind of thinking about the slackers running out to do whatever and, you know, skimming. It's not at all about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. We're talking with Adam Goldberg from Torchlight. We're talking about caregiving and challenges for employees in providing care to their loved ones. And now we're going to talk a little bit more, I think, about some of the opportunities and resources that are available to employers, including what you guys at Torchlight do. Because, you know, when I heard about Torchlight and thought about having Adam come on for the show, I was really intrigued by it because it's an issue that I felt's been kind of underserved. We've never talked about it on the HR Happy Hour show in 10 years, right, in 300 episodes. So I was really interested in it. So I do want to share as much as we can about what these guys are doing too to help organizations as well as individuals. So, Adam, maybe you could give us some we talked a little bit about sort of the ROI, the business case problems. Maybe talk a little bit about what kinds of resources, programs, platforms are available to employers who decide, hey, we take this really seriously. We know this is an issue in our workforce. We know this is good business as well. And you sit down and start talking to them. So tell me a little bit about how this works, how the process works, and what kinds of support you guys provide to employers.
Sure. So I'll talk about the range of solutions. And, you know, we talked a little bit about flexible, you know, work arrangements and manager training and things like that. But now, you know, we're in a position to be able to put these great tools in the hands of those folks to be able to automate some of this. So there's technology-based solutions, there's people-based solutions. We're, you know, kind of a combination of that. We're, you know, tech-enabled, human supported, data driven. Mm-hmm. And there's other aspects of this. There's so many pieces to caregiving that, first off, one needs to be able to contextualize all of that and to say, okay, let's stop for a second in this really challenging moment and ask the right questions around what's the challenge at hand. So are we talking about a child? Are we talking about an elder loved one? And for that child, for instance, you know, are they in a public school, a private school? What state? Because there's all kinds of regulations and things. So Torchlight is a platform where we've calibrated all of that. And then on the, you know, elder end of things, and you can view both bookends as, you know, challenging life phases that, again, present new and different things at every stretch. On the elder side, it's navigating one of so many different pathways around memory care, housing, financial, legal. And so we, as a platform, need to be able to tie into a lot of other, you know, great ecosystem solutions or assets, whether that's financial applications, legal applications, the EAP, right, you know, behavioral health, you know, well-being and resilience solutions. And so there's kind of an ecosystem of stuff to be able to meet, you know, the needs of these personas or these use cases, because it's any permutation. You know, there's a lot of complexity to it. So, and that's kind of a big thing that's under discussion right now with a lot of top employers is, how do we take all this stuff and make sense of it?
Right.
How does it all, you know, work together and plug in? And so, you know, we've taken a lot of time to kind of, you know, crack the nut on that. We're having some amazing discussions with other folks, you know, in the ecosystem that we've just described. Mm-hmm. And that there's a very sensible approach to making this seamless to, you know, to the end user, to the employee and the employee family, by all of us taking the complexity out of that behind the curtain. And so what Torchlight does specifically as an employee caregiver solution is we are taking someone from that starting point where they say, you know, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know how to get started on this. I've got, you know, advanced yeah. And I'm in a biotech and I'm a researcher or whatever, but I don't know this language. I can't do this. And it's taking me forever to try and figure it out. And I don't want to be an expert in this. I want someone to hold my hand through it. And so we take them from that point through essentially a digital intake or assessment. And then we start moving them down appropriate pathways to take action. And so it's personalizing the plan and the milestones. It's tracking everything and then guiding to kind of all these other caregiving related assets. So that's, you know, that's our approach. And again, it uses technology and human intervention. Like I said, we try to take on all the complexity behind the curtain and make it super simple to the user and to partners in the ecosystem.
Yeah, Adam, thanks for sort of setting that up a little bit and describing how the sort of the concept, a little bit about how the platform works. Because I'm envisioning this as kind of like, if I were someone in this circumstance, like, I wouldn't know where to start, right? Like, I mean, I maybe would have a little bit of an idea, but I feel like I, you know, maybe it's a flaw in my character, but, you know, I don't know if I'd be looking at my health and benefits provider, my EAP, my mental health. You know, I wouldn't even know where to begin. So I like the idea of sort of saying to an employee, can come to this platform and we're going to guide you and direct you and help you sort of navigate this complexity, if you will, and try to lead you down the path to a better set of solutions and support resources. Is that a fair way to describe it, Adam?
It is. It is. And, you know, I've noticed from a lot of these vendor summits, so to speak, you know, you have a large, well-known employer, you have, I don't know, dozen and a half providers or vendors at the table, and everyone's kind of strutting their stuff and wanting to control the employee, you know, family user experience. And for us, we don't necessarily care about the spotlight. We want to solve the problem. So if an employer has an ecosystem that's driven by, you know, a concierge platform or by an EAP playing that role, we don't care. We'll either be the prime or the sub. We just want to make sure that we roll up our sleeves and figure it out so that it's just doesn't matter to the end user. Mm-hmm. You know, it's up to us. The onus is on us to figure that out. And I think we've got some pretty good methods to the madness there. It's worked well so far.
Yeah, Adam, as we sort of think about this, maybe just without giving specifics, and I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but yeah, maybe share one story or maybe sort of kind of the most common kind of story you get across. It doesn't have to be specific to one organization you work with, but the typical organization that engages with you guys and implements a platform like this to support their employees in navigating these caregiving issues and journeys, what are just the typical outcomes that they see? And again, you don't have to name a specific, you can if you want to, but just kind of what are the results, kind of how long does it take, and what do they tell you back after they've been working with the platform for a while?
Sure. Some of it is really in the deep kind of grimy, dirty details of the task management. And so I'll give you an example. We have a very well-known higher education institution with whom we've been working for a while. And one particular family had been trying to navigate the special education process and system. And the little minutia, like getting the request for an evaluation wrong, and not being able to get that evaluation, which would lead to, publicly financed services through the school where transportation's provided and everything, and parents don't have to run around outside of the office. They couldn't get that right literally for 4 years. Wow. And these are very bright people in this family, because it's so nuanced. When they jumped onto our platform, it was literally 4 weeks, not 4 years, before they figured out, because in that instance, just again to give dirty details on this, mm-hmm. we have a letter generator tool that helps them be able to make sure that they're using the right language, making the right compliant request, and there we go. You know, wow. 4 weeks later, they had accomplished something that they tried for 4 years to do. And what does that end up doing? All of a sudden, you can track this down to the CPT codes, for the insurance claims. It takes those services off of the self-funded plan and moves them into the public domain, where the child is now in an inclusive environment, not pulled out for private services. The copays, deductibles, all that stuff is mitigated for the family, and the employer wins as well. Wow. And that's going to happen in just a handful of weeks versus all the years of frustration. And, the stories like that are really what drive me and drive us here, because that's just awesome.
Yeah. No, that is a great example. And a perfect example of how tools like these and platforms like these impact people on such an individual and personal and meaningful level, right? Like, I love a good payroll system, Adam. I love a good accounts payable system. But they don't resonate, right, emotionally and with people like these kinds of – and that's really – I mean, honestly, when I heard about this and wanted to learn more, and that's the reason why I wanted to bring it on the show too, because, I mean, that's kind of like the reason I got into HR and benefits on the tech side way back when, right? Because – if you're lucky, right, you get to make a difference in people's lives. And I think clearly what you guys are doing is oriented around that idea. And I think that's probably why you're doing it.
No, and that's right. And I'll tell you from a personal perspective, There are other things that I could have done, you know, out of business school. This was not something that I really planned or expected to do, you know, for a career. I have some friends who are retired by now, doing some of the things that I thought about doing, but I wouldn't change it at all. This is it is rewarding every day. It's not easy. It's definitely a tougher path, but seeing the impact, it's humbling and amazing to me.
No, this is awesome, and I'm glad you made that choice, Adam, because the world didn't need another, you know, emoji sticker chat app. You know, we don't need that. that you know, that 12-year-olds use. We don't plenty of those, right? So, Hey, so Adam, I'm going to let you go. We'll wrap this up again. We've been talking with Adam Goldberg from Torchlight about elder care and the types of platform services and now technologies that are now becoming available to employers to help their employees manage these important and prevalent issues. We talked about 20 plus millions of folks minimum. It's probably more than that. Of employed folks wrapped up in these issues and growing, right, based on demographic shifts. You can I'll direct Adam, if you have anything else to mention, I'll direct you everyone listening to the website torchlight.care. That's www.torchlight.care. This will be in the show notes as well. Adam, thanks for joining us. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go today?
No, I think we covered it fairly well, Steve, and, you know, real pleasure. And, you know, I guess I'll just reiterate, what we believe, which is, you know, that caring is everyone's business and it's good business. And so, I love having, great conversations, even when they don't, lead anywhere. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, Adam, thanks so much. We'll get all the contact information, website, Twitter, the Facebook, everything. Your team is great. They've been very helpful in getting this set up too. So thanks to Adam from Torchlight for joining us today. And I do encourage folks, HR benefit folks, if you haven't thought about this really kind of intentionally for your organization, I encourage you to check out what Torchlight's doing and get in touch and certainly learn more about these issues. So so that's it. Thanks, Adam, again. Thanks, of course, to our show sponsor, Virgin Pulse, www.virginpulse.com. Always and forever, thanks for your help. And remember, subscribe to the HR Happy Hour show and all the podcast network shows. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search for HR Happy Hour. It is that simple. Thanks for all the support. Thanks again, Adam. And Trish, we'll see you the next time. This is Steve Bose for the HR Happy Hour show. We will see you next time. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.